Chapter 17. The last contact walked straight up to Jin.
Cloud, he grunted in a low voice.
She handed him the image caster and watched him enter the palace. She was half surprised it worked for him. He was the least subtle of all her contacts. Saw had told her to go straight back to the ship after she passed out the invitations. But she still had extra image casters, and she could use one for herself. And after seeing the Wraiths denied entry into the palace, Jin was more than a little curious about just what lay beyond those forbidden doors. Besides, all the other missions she'd done with Saw hadn't ended in a party in a palace. The most glamorous thing she'd done lately was release Minnok repellent around the asteroids closest to Re.
Just a peek, she told herself, wrapping her fingers around an image caster.
She mounted the steps of the palace slowly, her eyes on the stormtroopers. They looked bored, waving her inside with one hand after she scanned her image caster on the ident block. Fallen Sakula petals formed a path down the hallway, but even without them, Jin could have followed the sounds of the crowd to the large ballroom that was sunken into the heart of the palace. Pillars wrapped in ivy supported a glass ceiling over the ballroom, and several dozen steps led down to the main floor. Jin's Inusagian robes whispered against the stone as she descended into the ballroom. Her eyes darted around, looking for Saw or the other contacts in the partisan group, but she didn't see anyone else. They must have used the invites for entry into the building, she thought. The palace was huge, with high domed ceilings. They could be anywhere by then, uncovering the secrets of the Empire that had been hidden in its base there in the Chiefess's palace. Just a few minutes, Jin told herself. The ballroom was packed with people, most lingering around the buffet table, on which sat an array of Inusagian delicacies. Fruits and honeys, breads and cheeses. Different wines were being passed around by server droids, a selection from Inusagi, but also a few finer bottles from Core Worlds, including a blue one featuring Alderaanian wine that was being served only to the more elite guests, who stood on a platform near the art sculpture that occupied the center of the ballroom. The sculpture was made of flowers. Jin had never seen something so beautiful and so pointless. The flowers would surely die after a few standard weeks, and the entire thing would wilt. For now, though, it was breathtaking, a show of extravagance. The base of the sculpture was made with greenery, thick, waxy leaves woven together with ivy, and that gave way to fiery red blossoms with orange centers, crowned with bright golden-yellow sakula blossoms. The image the flowers created was a bird on fire.
It's lovely, isn't it? A man near Jin said when he saw her leaning back to see the full sculpture. She had to admit it was.
What kind of bird is it? She asked.
She only then realized she hadn't seen any birds in the garden by the pool. The closest thing to flight that she'd seen was the Wraiths gliding over water.
It's a starbird, the man said. Your mother didn't tell you the legend?
He thinks I'm Inusagian, Jin thought, remembering her robes. My mother died, she said, looking down demurely.
A flash of pity crossed the man's face.
It's an old tale anyway, he said. People forget the old tales. But the starbird lives inside the heart of every star in the galaxy. When a star goes out, the bird dies a fiery death, its wings spanning millions of kilometers, stretching out over the dark abyss of space. The starbird turns to stardust.
Jin stiffened.
All that's left is the heart, and the dust spreads out over the galaxy, then forms again.
The man cupped his hands as if he could hold the stardust.
And the starbird is reborn.
He opened his palms, and Jin half expected a mythical bird to soar into the air. But there was nothing.
Disrespectful is what it is, said an older woman who had been listening to them frowning. Disrespectful?
The man asked, but there was an icy edge to his voice. The woman sniffed at him, turning away. She moved over to a group of Imperial officers gathered near a platform.
Thanks for the story, Jin said, moving away from the man.
She didn't want anyone to really notice her. And if the man wasn't liked, it wouldn't help her to stick near him.
Friends, members of the Inusagian court,
a voice echoed, amplified by the speaker droids that had buzzed above the crowd, hovering over everyone's heads. All eyes turned to the dais installed under the flowery sculpture. The chiefess looked much smaller than she had in the hollow. Her eyes were sunken, and her skin ashen. Her hair hung limply down her back. The only thing that looked regal about her was the silvery white robes she wore. The bands of cloth wrapped around her torso in a way that reminded Jin of the Raiths wrapping their arms around themselves as they approached the palace.
We welcome you all as we celebrate the beautiful festival of Sakula Blossoms,
the chiefess said. She glanced behind her at the statue made of flowers.
Yes, thank you,
someone said before the chiefess could continue. An Imperial officer stepped forward, and the microphone shifted toward him.
We are pleased to share this festival day with an event equally joyous, the installation of Inusagi's first Imperial governor.
He waited for polite applause and kept waiting until there were enough cheers to satisfy him.
Thank you, thank you,
he continued as the welcome abated.
Governor Kor Tofobin is a personal friend of our great Emperor Palpatine, and it is an honor to dedicate his service to the Empire and the planet of Inusagi today. Kor, please step forward,
the officer said, sweeping his arm out. Jin made her way to the back of the crowd. It was clear what this little party was really about. A show of power and prestige from the Empire. It seemed almost like a mockery to turn a festival in honor of the planet's beauty into an excuse to showcase an Imperial governor. Most of the crowd edged closer to the stage, but Jin unobtrusively stepped farther back. It was time to go. A handful of stormtroopers lined the bottom of the stairs in the sunken ballroom. Before they could stop her, Jin made a motion to show that she was feeling sick, and one stepped back so she could dart up the stairs and toward the hallway that led out of the palace. She paused before leaving, her robes brushing through the trail of Sakula petals, the pillars surrounding the ballroom casting long, reaching shadows. There was movement there. Jin squinted into the darkness. 10 people moved forward, silently. Among them were a bald man with a bushy beard, an old woman no longer hunchbacked, a blunt man with big, angry eyes. Maya and Saw. Each held a dual canister FC-1 flechette launcher. Jin had studied weapons with Saw long enough to know exactly what such a weapon would do. Her eyes widened as her mind ran over the statistics she knew by heart. Each flechette launcher would hold 6 anti-personnel canisters. Each canister held hundreds of tiny, razor-sharp flechettes made of durasteel that, when fired, would slice through the crowd, penetrating up to 10 centimeters, regardless of whether they hit a stormtrooper's armor or a soft Inusagian gown. Flechettes were deck sweepers, capable of decimating a crowd in minutes. Jin couldn't move as she watched the partisans take their positions around the pillars. 10 people. 60 shots. Thousands of tiny razors flying through the air. Her eyes flew to the chiefess as she stepped forward and the newly installed Imperial governor finished his speech.
Welcome to Inusagi, Governor Tofavin,
the chiefess said in a defeated voice. She held something in her hand, a remote, and when she activated it, millions of golden Sakula petals floated from the sky, drifting like snow over the crowd. Cries of wonder and delight filled the ballroom. Jin almost didn't hear the first launcher fire. The flechettes were silver, cutting through the golden petals. People dropped, soaked in blood, before anyone thought to scream. The new governor's body fell off the stage. The chiefess crumpled at the feet of the flowery starbird, her silvery white gown stained red. In mere minutes, the floor was covered in blood and bodies.